All right, and welcome to Both Mics.
Hey, it's a show about nothing and everything. He's Mike Sofka.
And he is Mike Taylor. And together, we are Both Mics.
Both Mics. How's it going?
Good.
Welcome to show number 38 of Both Mics, heard everywhere podcasts can be heard. iHeartRadio and live on twitch.tv/BothMics. Happy Friday, sir.
How are you? Yeah, you're catching us live on Twitch if it's Friday when you're watching us, hopefully. And if not, you're somewhere else. But how are you?
I'm good. Good. Things are good. We got a new look. Look, we got a new look.
A little bit of a new look. Yeah. Still trying to work out some of the rough edges here. But, you know, it's evolving.
It's evolving. It's getting better. Whether you like it or not, folks, it's getting better.
The thing with this Surfside.
Uh-oh.
Did you hear about this? About how they have people have stolen the identities of some of these people?
Well, it is Miami, and Miami's always been known to be the fraud capital of the world.
But
well, until India got telephones, I guess.
But check it out. I mean, what they're doing is they're watching the news. And when they see the name come across, they know the address of
right.
The building. So, I mean, they're halfway home. They just got to do a little bit of a search, look on Facebook, see what their favorite pet was when they were growing up. That's their password or whatever, you know.
State name.
Yeah, first elementary school, you know, all that shit that they put in these surveys on Facebook and stuff. So
right.
It's disturbing, though. This is according to Local 10. That
yeah.
must be the... local station down there. They're saying that they violated the rights of an individual, but worse than that, a deceased individual and a family that is grieving. I get it. No, right? That's what the
yeah.
mayor Charles Burkett said.
Yeah, I think they've come across 98 of the folks that were you know involved in the bad end of that deal. They knocked down the rest of the building last week, so. A lot of insurance claims, you know, because the people that were left in that building, you know, in the undestroyed part of the building, they couldn't go back and get their stuff. You know, it's just SOL.
Well, they're not giving out the exact details of what they have so far. Obviously, it's an open investigation, but they did say that, you know, they're looking in the right direction. They know what kind of person this is. It's just a matter of finally identifying. That's sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Well, last couple shows I waited till halfway between the show to put the brakes on. This week I've decided to just come right out of the box and slam on the brakes.
So we'll go slow and it's all uphill from here?
Yes, absolutely. And
we'll have cake and cookies later. Make it better.
Well, the roof of another Miami-Dade building has fallen in, and I'm beginning to wonder who the hell was building these buildings back in the day. This
right.
is according to NBC News. They're saying that the roof of a Miami-Dade building partially collapses. All apartments are evacuated. This apparently is not far from where that other place was, so maybe there's a problem with the aquifer. Maybe there's... I mean, you can't. Aren't they going to dig a tunnel here and put this big metro thing in a tunnel? They can't even keep the buildings upright. How the hell are they going to do a tunnel?
The water table's like 6 inches below the ground. How can you put anything underground? I don't get it. This is probably just shoddy workmanship. You know, the integrity of the building looks good. It's just the fascia and the soffit there along the roof line. Yeah, you get shoddy workmanship anywhere you go. It just so happens it happens 3 weeks after a building collapses, so of course you're going to get every story possible, you know. Somebody lost a shingle on a roof, you're going to hear about it in Miami for the next few weeks, months, year. But
they did an audit on buildings in the county that are over 5 stories or higher and at or near 40 years old. So they're looking for problems here. I mean, they're looking
yeah.
for stuff. They said it passed a 40-year inspection. I don't know what that means.
Hindsight's 20/20. You know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You get one Southwest 737 Super 8 Max airplane goes out of control, and all of a sudden they ground all the airplanes because, you know, hey, there's something wrong.
It's the same thing with guns and with, you know, people being fat. You take away all the forks, people won't be fat anymore, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean...
take away the pencils and you'll have no more mistakes.
That's right. That's right. Just make them, make erasers on both sides.
Yep. Unreal.
So what else is going on with you? Anything?
Not much, man. Let's see. Last week, what did we do last weekend? Oh, St. Augustine had a celebration this past weekend. It was 100th anniversary of the, I guess, signing over of Florida from the Spanish to the U.S. Was it 1532 or something? St. Augustine was, you know, established as the first city in the nation, but it was still under, like, Spanish rule. So 200 years ago this past weekend, it was signed over to the United States and I guess became a colony and then eventually a state. But they had in the downtown historic area, they had like a simulation, a reenactment of the signing and all that stuff. So the wife wanted to go down because it was a part of history of the new city we live in. And it was actually a good crowd there. I was surprised. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I brought my both mic stickers and put them everywhere I could.
Nice.
And until I ran out. And we had lunch. If you look on the What's Hot in St. Augustine, What's Hot First Coast Facebook pages, you'll see where we went to lunch. TripAdvisor called this pizza place Pizza Time in the historic district of San Antonio. Nope. And where do I live? St. Augustine. number two pizza place in the country. So I had two slices of white pizza, and Michael. Xander had a slice of pizza, and Nikki had some garlic knots, and Brenda had a big old Sicilian slice of pizza, a couple soft drinks for $35, and most I spent for pizza in a while. And we had the number two pizza in the country. It's actually really good. It was really good.
Now, is this an advertising point to have it written on the window or something? Number two pizza in the country?
Yeah. It's like a on the windows outside facing, and then you go inside, there's a big old marquee hanging out, number two pizza place in the country.
And where's the number one place?
I don't know. I don't think they want to divulge where the number one pizza place is.
Next door, right down the street.
At Mike's house. That would be funny.
Did you see any gators this weekend?
Any gators? No. No gators.
Yeah? Well, there's a big thing about gators right now in the state of Florida. And one of them is a little advisory. I read this story here, and I want to give a public service announcement. Do not do this. Do not do what we're talking about here. And you know this is a good story. First of all, it's from thehill.com. But when it starts out, Florida man arrested, you know the rest of it's really good. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think of Shannon Burke immediately when I think of Florida.
Yeah, Florida man arrested after trying to throw alligator on roof to teach it a lesson. Because that's how you teach alligators a lesson. You throw them on a roof.
Let me make some notes here. All right.
A man from Florida, again, this is according to thehill.com. A man from Florida has been arrested after he told police he wanted to teach an alligator a lesson by beating it and attempted to throw it on a rooftop. William Hodge from Homestead was arrested on Thursday after he stole an alligator from a miniature golf course, beat it, and then tried throwing it on the roof of a beachside cocktail lounge. Daytona Beach Shores police officers caught the 32-year-old when he saw him attempting to throw the alligator on the roof. Now, this guy here who was doing it, again, he says he was teaching it a lesson. The guy's in jail still. He's facing charges of possession and injury of an alligator, unarmed burglary of an occupied dwelling, theft, and criminal mischief.
Interesting.
32-year-old dude from Daytona.
Well, you mentioned Homestead earlier. So Homestead is down by Miami.
Right.
Maybe he's from Homestead and the incident happened in Daytona?
Yes. Those that's exactly what happened. Yes, that's what happened.
Like, one of those cool, out-of-control mini golf courses that has like a crashed airplane and a volcano. And
what's that old thing? Go to vacation, end up on probation?
Yes, yes. That's Daytona's tagline.
There you go.
Yeah. God.
You know, if anybody from Daytona or the Bike Fest is Bike Week, if any of them is listening, there's somebody I know owns the rights to a couple websites you may be interested in to promote your product. I'm in negotiation with another company right now, with another event company. The websites are Florida Bike Fest and BikeFestFloridaBoth.com. So if you have a bike event or know somebody that's running one of those bike events, the other people I'm working with, taking them about a month longer than I want them to, so I'm not afraid to pull the plug on somebody else if somebody else comes along. So, I mean, I got... this is a perishable product on the shelf here, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I need to make some money on it. You ever do that? You ever speculate on a domain or...
Actually, I have. I have. Flipping essay.
Nice.
As in, like, flipping, house flipping essay as in San Antonio.
Oh, I thought it was like, hey, essay! And you're flipping that guy. Hey, essay!
Safari guide assistant.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, same thing. You know, flipping essay, Stratos jump, I think, something like that. Something along the lines of what happened with my cousin back in 66, you know, doing the free fall skydive from the stratosphere. And I was trying to think of an angle with that. Not that I was going to jump from outer space or anything like that, but I don't know, I just had some wheels going in there. So, but yeah, you know, any time you can make a buck.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'm looking at my notes here, and we're getting ready to talk about these guys, so we might as well go ahead and pull this up, the alien update.
Let's look at alien! Where?
Ah! Warning! Alien approaching! Warning! Biophysical experiments extremely dangerous for Earth people!
That's a pretty good robot. He's a little bit of an alien, too, but I think he's mostly... He's an alien robot. You could be an alien robot, right? But not all robots are domestic.
I computed the aliens. They are capable of sinister and dangerous acts.
You weird alien man!
Alright, now I'm gonna adjust the alien update, I promise you. I'm gonna fix it so that the right names are on there. But when we're talking about the alien update, we're talking about Musk, we're talking about Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Branson, what's his name? Richard Branson, Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates.
These guys are just way too smart and have too much money. They figured it out. They're obviously from another planet. Here's the deal. There's somebody that bought a $28 million ticket for Jeff Bezos' flight. You know, the flight to space?
Yeah.
He auctioned those off, and it went the mystery bidder who won a seat on the maiden crew flight of the New Shepard rocket now has scheduling conflicts, and he's not going to be able to go.
Oh, scheduling conflicts. Did his mommy say he couldn't go?
Yeah, what is that short for, scheduling conflicts? Because I remember, like you said, did mommy say he couldn't go? You know, if somebody was trying to introduce you to their friend on a blind date, if they said she had a pretty face, that meant she was fat. If they, she, you know, well, whatever. There was code, you know.
Oh, yeah. She has a good personality. I
yes,
think
she's ugly as shit then, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes those type of women try harder.
Stop. Those type. Those people. Jesus.
That's what?
Mike_Taylor@BothMikes.com. Jesus.
What?
I like how I start. I immediately run the show into the rails, and then here you go, and you come right out and friggin' pick it right back up. That's why I have you. That's why I like you, Mike. Picked it right back up.
Usually, yeah, it's like a pylon, you know. It's king of the mountain. Who can get to the top of the mountain first with the most insults, and you know, we just overtake each other and build on it from there, and then we're both embarrassed and getting all kinds of strange emails.
So on July 20th, Bezos, Jeff Bezos' brother Mark Bezos, and legendary aviator Wally Funk are all scheduled to go on the first crewed flight of Blue Origin's new Shepard suborbital rocket when they fly approximately 62 miles above the Earth's surface, reaching the Kármán line, the boundary between Federation Aeronautique International's recognized as the start of space. For roughly 3 minutes, they will experience weightlessness, after which the crew capsule will plummet back to Earth and show its descent with massive parachutes. While the rocket can hold up to 6 passengers, it will fly autonomously, eliminating the need for Blue Origin to have other personnel physically piloting the craft. A fourth seat was supposed to go to a mystery bidder who bid $28 million at a charity auction in June. Unfortunately, the anonymous capitalist or inheritance recipient will now be backing out of the inaugural flight due to scheduling conflicts. In that person's stead, the fourth passenger will now be, drumroll, this 18-year-old kid. 18-year-old Oliver Damon, a recent high school graduate. Damon, a physics student on a gap year before college, who also holds a private pilot license, is the son of Somerset Capital Partners CEO Joe Damon, who paid an undisclosed sum to get a seat on the second crewed flight. They moved him up when his seat for the first flight became unavailable, Blue Origin told CNBC and Gizmodo, so it must be true.
All right, Oliver. Yeah. Who names their kid Oliver, first of all? And, he had nothing to do this summer, so he's going to fly to space.
Well, who takes a gap year? You usually don't take a year off, especially in a brainiac-type situation like physics. You don't take a year off, man. You don't go, yeah, I'm going to take the year off and backpack across Europe during COVID. You know, you could sit at home and take virtual classes. Shit.
Right? Yeah.
So there's something fishy there.
Well, he has a private pilot's license, so that might come in handy, you know, if when this thing falls to the ground... In a controlled crash, he might need to use his pilot's license, possibly.
What's he gonna do? No? Stick his arms out the window and start flapping?
Yeah, that's about what it is. Now, knowing what I know from my cousin's doings back in 1966 with the stratosphere jump that he tried to do, is his second attempt, he was able to get to 21.21 miles up in the air. By being held up by a weather balloon in this little makeshift gondola, which is on display at the Smithsonian Institute at Dulles Airport in Virginia. He got to that point, 21 miles up in the air, and he had to disconnect his oxygen from the oxygen tank in the gondola to his self-contained unit, which was on him that he was going to jump with. And he couldn't disconnect it. It was frozen because of the hours it took to get to that height. He couldn't disconnect it, and a $1.50 wrench is all he needed to disconnect it. So he couldn't disconnect it, and he was in this pressure suit. He had already taken off his seatbelt and was getting ready to go. He couldn't put his seatbelt back on. So basically, he had to jam his foot in the corner, jam his arm in the other corner, and ride this gondola all the way down.
Wow.
Now, when there's no atmosphere and you have a parachute, there's no air in the parachute. So this thing came down until about 53,000 feet with no air in the parachute. The parachute just flapped in the wind.
And you're looking at this thing going, what the hell?
Yeah, you're looking up, and that's all you see is this thing flapping in the wind, or what wind there is, and hoping for the best. And sure enough, it did open, and it opened properly, and he was able to land, and he landed in a I don't know. The second time, I think he landed in a junkyard. One of the times he came back down, he landed in a junkyard. Third time, he didn't land very well at all. But yeah, so this thing is going to come from 26 miles up in the air, and it's going to flap like a mother flipper with these people in it. And it, of course, it's all self-contained, and they're going to land by parachute. Couldn't they do something cool like Benson Bezos? Not Benson. What's his name? Branson, and like have it so that it comes down and flies like a glider, and they can land at the airport. You can't do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
$28 million in a controlled crash to Earth. I don't know. I think I would see if there was a coupon or a Groupon or a Living Social deal on $28 million. Sorry.
A Groupon on a space flight.
You know, the Bezos Groupon.
If you're watching this in 10 years from 2021, like 2031, and you're like, that's remember that? They had to pay $28 million to get on the thing. Now you just get the bus pass or whatever.
Right,
you know.
Yeah. The fast pass.
Jesus.
So I got my ticket on Eventbrite, and I'm heading to space.
You drove. You drive a Ford, right?
I certainly do. Well, once every 6 months or so, because it's in the garage.
Nice.
I have a 2013 Ford Mustang California Special GT convertible, black on black.
Well, good. You're not among the 775,000 Fords that are getting recalled.
Wow.
Ford SUVs worldwide are being recalled for a steering issue linked to reports of 6 injuries in North America. The recall covers 2013 through 2017 model year vehicles that may experience a seized cross-axis ball joint that could cause a fractured rear suspension toe link, which could significantly diminish steering control, increasing the risk of death.
I hate when that happens. I hate when my control knob breaks off and I go careening into a barrier in the middle of the highway at 75 miles an hour.
Ford also issued 2 other smaller recalls, one for the F-350 with a 6.7 liter engine. That thing will pull down the house, I bet.
Yeah, it's a $73,000 truck.
And they're also recalling Lincoln Aviator vehicles equipped with the 3.0 liter gas engine because the battery cable wire harness may not be properly secured. Those are simple things. That's easy. But the steering thing.
The Lincoln Aviator is the same as a Ford Explorer. So they're recalling one and not the other? That's odd.
Maybe they just haven't gotten caught yet on the one with the Ford badge on it.
Yeah, or maybe it's one of those hoity-toity options that the Lincoln has that the Ford doesn't have. All speculation, of course.
Well, you know, I did just get a text. Our buddy, his limo should be pulling up here any minute. So I'm going to
run. He shows up in a limo and he leaves on a flying carpet. What a god.
Yes, exactly. So hang on a second. Let me see if I could find this cat here. Hang on.
All right.
We're having. There we go. There's his picture. You're going to see him. If you're looking at the video, there's his picture. And yep. He's at the door. I'm going to go grab the door. I'll be right back. Got his music playing. How are you, young Michael?
Excellent, Mark Stradamus. Welcome, and ladies and gentlemen, this is a very exciting night. We have a very special guest with us this evening. We have a guest from the East, a famous safari guide, the all-knowing, all-seeing, omniscient, and former electronics salesman from the Crazy Eddie at the corner of 4th and Lexington. I give you Mike Stradamus.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
Welcome, Mike Stradamus. Welcome. We have been waiting to hear your infinite wisdom. I have your envelopes right here. They have been hermetically sealed and stored in a mayonnaise jar at FunSpot on iDrive since noon today. No one knows the contents of these envelopes, but you, in your infinite wisdom, without ever seeing the contents, you alone know the answers to these questions in the envelope. I present to you your first envelope.
Ah, thank you. There we go, there we go. So I'm going to read the answer to the question, then I'm going to open the envelope and reveal the question. Just to be clear here for our,
correct.
Our friends over the podcast airways here. The answer to this question is
the interwebs.
Shart Week. Shart with a T. Shart Week.
Shart Week.
What do you call the week after going on a cruise with both mics? Nice, I like it. I like it. That's a good one there. That's a good one. I like that one. And Nice. You know, may your toilet be filled with glorious surf and turf. That's a good one there. Yeah. Yeah, do you need to get up and go to the bathroom or wipe or anything?
I'm good.
Okay.
Carry on, sir.
I'm waiting for envelope number two, and I miss you repeating these things. I like hearing you.
I have envelope number two.
Envelope number two. Aha. Thank you. The answer to envelope number two. Britney Spears. Open up the envelope. Name someone that hasn't balanced the checkbook in two decades.
Yeah, she's hasn't balanced the checkbook in quite a while.
May you have a meltdown and shave your head.
Again.
Are we ready with the final envelope?
Sir, I have your final envelope right here.
Thank you. Okay, the final envelope. Things your wife says.
Things your wife says.
Why are you not reading my mind when I wasn't speaking to you because I was mad at you for not knowing what I was mad at you about?
3 years ago. Yes, I understand.
Yes, yes. And may your next wife record all your conversations for quality assurance.
Folks, Mike Stradamus.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to jump on this carpet and get out of here. Tell him to stop grabbing your ass. I can't help he grabs your ass. What do you want me to do? Stand there and block your... Oh, sorry. Is this thing on?
Hello? You there?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Had the normal grabbing the intern's ass on the way out the door to the magic carpet. Takes a limo here. Takes a carpet when he leaves. Guy's incredible. Mike Stradamus. All right, let me get us back on track here.
Yeah, now that he's gone.
Did you hear about this lady that pulled a bunch of teeth and they arrested her? She pulled 13 teeth.
I heard something about it, but no details. Like, what? She broke into a dentist's office?
Well, first of all, let me show you her picture. And if you're just listening to the podcast and you owe it to yourself to check out the video, to check out her picture, because she does look like a dentist, no?
twitch.tv/bothmikes. It looks like the girl that works at the Kangaroo gas station down the street.
Exactly. She looks like the one that's at 2 o'clock in that shady bar. Well, honey, it's not going to get any better than this.
Wow. And she put her hair up, though. That was nice of her.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me get into this story here. This is Nevada woman. This is according to SFGate.com. Nevada woman accused of pulling 13 teeth on one patient without a license.
Oh, I thought she did it on herself.
No. A Nevada woman has been arrested on multiple felony charges for breaking into a dentist office and on a previous occasion extracting 13 teeth from a patient without a license. Washoe County Sheriff's Department detectives arrested Laura Etch, 42, for allegedly stealing more than $22,000 in cash and checks from a dental office in Sun Valley, Reno on May 3rd. During the investigation, officers also learned that she had allegedly performed 13 tooth extractions on one person without a dentist license. Etch admitted to multiple people that she had performed the procedure and used the anesthetic and has been tossed by the dental office.
Do they need security at the dentist office? How do you like to walk willy-nilly through a dentist office, put somebody under? Kudos to her for being able to put somebody under, I guess.
Well, that's almost like the thing I wanted to do when I was young. Like, I wanted to get a job. I wanted to get hired on at McDonald's, but only work there for like an hour. And I didn't want to invest too much time. So I showed up at the interview. I filled out my application with a crayon. And I showed up at the interview in flip-flops and shorts and a tank top. And I had a beer in my hand. And I handed him the application, the manager. And I kicked my feet up, my bare dirty feet out of my flip-flops on his desk, and he told me to get the hell out. So I showed up the next day for work anyway. And the other manager was there, and I just said, no, this is all bullshit. I don't know. I got nothing here. Sorry. Found out.
Yeah, I a lot of questions.
Yeah.
How do you walk through a dentist's office freely and get to a situation where you can do this? Was there some shenanigans going on with the dentist and hygienist?
How did she have time to pull 13 teeth? That's got to take some time for a patient to be in the dentist office and nobody be checking on this patient. And this woman's out here taking 13 teeth out of her head.
Even if it took a minute, a tooth, it's still like 15 minutes to find the damn tools alone. And to put someone under, or was she under already? And she just kind of...
No, she said she put somebody under. Oh, yeah. This is actually a surgery. She's been arrested on multiple felony counts, including performing surgery on another without a license, burglary of a business, one grand larceny greater than $5,000, and violation of probation or condition of a suspended sentence. She was also charged with one gross misdemeanor count of conspiracy to commit burglary.
Because she planned on doing it. That's the only thing. What was I going to say? Oh, man, my mind is freaking...
But let me ask you a question. If you're the patient and that walked into the room and said, hey, I'm here to pull 13 teeth, I would be like, no, time out, stop. And then she puts the mask on you and that's it, you're out, or what?
Apparently. And isn't there usually an assistant?
I would think so, especially when you're pulling 13 teeth.
Yeah, did she come in with a white coat and just play the part real well? You know, and imagine, like... You woke up to her. You're out cold to get a procedure done. And you wake up and she's looking at you.
No, I'm good.
Like, can I get $5 on pump 3?
She looks like she's at Ron's Pub 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, talking about how hot she was when she was younger and how her and her daughter get confused for twins all the time.
Yeah, and she. She moonlights at the landing strip in West Palm Beach. Not that I would know.
I think I'm going to run out of topics before time, but we'll be all right. We'll figure something out here. Dude, I do have mic-isms to get to.
Professionals, we could just freaking riff and BS all night long. We can do a 4-hour show.
That's correct. We can get into mic-isms. Let's do that. Let me get this ugly mug off the screen here. And let me pull up the mic-isms. And mic-isms are basically the rules. These are basically the rules of life. These are basically things
you... Life on.
Yes.
You know, if you're ever just wondering and sad about things, and you're wondering where your life is going, and you need help somehow, and you're depressed, just pull out the mic-isms. This is a guide to give you bullshit. I don't know.
All right, so mic-ism number one.
Everything is fake.
That is correct. Everything is fake. Everything is a myth. It's a computer simulation. We are not really here, but a representation of us is here. That if you go to Fort Knox and ask to see all the gold in Fort Knox, they're going to throw you out. They're going to tell you you're crazy. Maybe that's because it's not there. Maybe the money's all fake. We're off the gold standard already, so maybe everything's fake. Maybe, you know, when I go to buy something, I use a credit card, not real money, right? And then what happens? I pay with another credit card or from my bank account the bill online. I never really even see the money anymore. You can tap and go stuff on your phone. Everything's fake, man. It's all an illusion.
Smoke and mirrors.
Number
people
two.
People are stupid.
People are stupid. That's correct. People are stupid. Never underestimate.
Always,
yes.
It's always them.
Never. Yeah. Now, it's not you. If you're listening to this, we're not talking about you. We're talking about all those other people who aren't listening. People are stupid.
Right. Like George Carlin always says, they got you by the balls.
That's right.
And like he's always talking he's always talking about the people. Well, the people that he's talking to in the audience are the people too. So, you know, I guess what's he talking about? He's not talking about the people in front of him, he's talking about those other people. Yeah.
Rule number three kind of goes from it kind of stems off from rule number two. Rule number three, what is it?
Yeah, don't trust anyone.
Don't trust anyone. You know, a lot of people are too trusting. You know, this isn't the 50s. This isn't Leave It to Beaver. You're not leaving your doors open and going out skipping through the neighborhood singing, you know, Kumbaya with the neighbors down the street around a campfire.
You ever date someone and you're like, this is fantastic. This is the best thing ever. I could never dislike this person. Never. She's awesome. And then, like, that line of love-hate. Next thing you know, she's the worst person in the world. She's possessed by Satan. Don't trust anyone.
What's rule don't number four, or mic-ism number four, I should say?
Mic-ism number four, don't tell anyone, anything they don't need to know. One more time. Don't tell anyone anything they don't need to know.
Yes. When the officer pulls you over, don't say, I only had two beers.
I only had one beer. No, you had none.
Yes.
If OJ taught us anything, deny.
So don't go giving people stuff you don't want them to have or they don't need. Mind your business. Keep your business to yourself. Let them keep their business to themselves. And don't start volunteering any information. What are you going to do? Go on Facebook and start telling me about your first elementary school and your favorite pet and your mother's maiden name?
First car I drove?
Yeah.
I've fallen for all of them.
And mic-ism number five.
Measure twice, cut once. Make sure you got your shit together.
I like that one because, you know, check your shit. Make sure your shit is right. Make sure before you go talking about somebody else's shit that your shit is right. Yep. Do it twice, cut once. I wish I did that more often. I'll tell you, I have trouble with that one. I need to do something better with that one. Number six. What's mic-ism number six?
Guilty by association.
If you're in the car, the officer pulls the car over, and he comes up and goes, this car smells like weed. Everybody get out. Guess what? Unless the driver cops to it, everybody's going downtown.
Guilty as charged. It is exactly what happened. I had a friend who was in the driver's seat rolling a left-handed cigarette, and I was in the back seat, and everybody got a ride downtown. So.
And were your parents very disappointed in you when they picked you up?
No, it didn't go that far. Oh. But you know what? I went downtown to the police department, and my name was written down on a little piece of paper with a bunch of other names that were people in the car. And guess what? Next time, if I ever had an incident in that town, they'd be like, hey, he was with that pot-smoking guy.
So did this go on your permanent record?
No, it wasn't. I was actually very lucky. The few towns around where I lived in New Jersey, my dad was what's called a rent-a-cop, or an auxiliary policeman. He basically directed traffic. He was a crossing guard and stuff like that when they needed him for, like, church and whatnot, you know, activities downtown. And everybody knew my dad. Everybody knew me because of my dad, so I got away with a lot. I got away with a lot of stuff. way too much to admit, but I got away with a lot of stuff as a young child. But yeah, getting back, you know, if anything ever happened and I was detained by the police, they'd be like, oh yeah, he was with that guy, guilty by association. Even though I did nothing wrong, I was just sitting in the back seat minding my own business. You know, if you hang around people that are guilty, you're guilty too, just because you hang out with them, and you must be just like them. So, number six, guilty by association.
So, number seven, Mikeism number seven.
Newest one, our newest addition to the Mikeism family, never go against the family.
Let me tell you something, never go against the family.
Yeah, ride or die.
You'll wind up with a horse head in your bed. Or worse yet, wake up dead.
Right? Like you got a right? Like you have a large family.
Yes.
Now, there's one particular brother that you know, I know one of your brothers better than the other one.
Right.
And you bust his balls all the time. It is just a thing that you guys do. You guys just bust on each other. Now, if I was to come along and bust on him, I couldn't do it because I'm not part of the family.
Well, you could, but I mean, you know, other and but you'd have a short leash, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
you know, somebody exactly. Outside, you know, and this there's a true story that involves that. There was a situation where, you know, somebody stepped on my brother, and my brother had drank quite a bit, and I knew that wouldn't end well, so I had to get involved. And next thing you know, we both got escorted out of the place. So I don't know, yeah. Stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, you know, he might be, you know, not with your particular situation, but if there's someone in the group who's a little slower, you know, and you make fun of him in every group, and he gets kind of the short end of the stick and usually the brunt of a lot of jokes in your group, but you know, he might be a spaz, but he's your spaz.
That's right. It doesn't mean you can make fun of him. Only I right. can do that.
Only we. Exactly.
Only we can That's pick on him. You pick on him, we're gonna kick your ass.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
We
so,
call him the name of the book, but hey.
So you ready for the new Mikeism for tonight?
Uh oh.
We have a new Mikeism here.
I'm running out of room here. I got my.
So
my
this would be note. This would be number seven.
Or this would be number eight.
Number eight. Be aware of your surroundings when you go somewhere. When you walk in the door at the retail establishment, where's the back door? Where's the bathroom? Where's the person with the register? Are there four people working here or two? How many customers are here? Are, you know, all these little things, you know, when you go into a restaurant, do you sit with your back to the door or do you sit with your back to the wall in the corner where nobody could possibly ever be behind you and sneak up on you?
Yeah, I'm good at this at some points, but I'm also kind of I don't want to live my life in a paranoid state where I have to check everything. I do have a good, you know, lack of a better word, spidey sense. You know, you kind of know.
You know something's off.
Yeah, when something's off, I'm good at that. But checking off all those little boxes that you just mentioned,
well,
it doesn't matter.
Well, it's like driving now. You know, when you're driving, you're checking your mirror, you're checking your side mirror, you're checking around you, you're looking in your blind spot. These are things that you just naturally do, and if you start naturally doing them, I mean, you're going to be a lot safer. There's crazy people out there doing crazy things right now. Remember, number two, people are stupid, so you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Even now, like with all the damn videos you see on YouTube and Facebook of you know, car crashes and whatnot with webcams, dashboard cams, even when I approach a damn intersection now and I clearly have the green light, I'm looking both ways.
Yeah.
And I've never done that before. You know, when I was in high school, my theory to my best friend was, you go between the yellow line and the white line. If anything gets in between there, it's not supposed to be there. Hit it. That was my process back in the 80s, my thought process. Now, not so much. But, sitting with my back to the door, my wife has PS, whatever. She has issues with that, so she likes to. I let her sit where she wants to sit, and I'll sit anywhere else. But as far as unscrupulous people around, I'll notice that, and I will, have my guard up for things like that. You know, people approaching from behind, people walking in weird spots, strange people. I'm always aware of that. So
you won't be the one getting 13 teeth pulled by a trailer park woman?
No. Hopefully not. At the Kangaroo gas station.
Right. Nothing wrong with trailer parks, by the way. It's Mike_Sofka at bothmikes.com. Do you use sunscreen? Do you use, what sunblock, all that stuff? Yes?
Yes.
You have to, right?
I hate it. I don't like getting anything on my hands.
Right.
So, like, the advent of this spray stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like having sunscreen on my hands.
Well, that's what I'm talking about here. Neutrogena products by Johnson & Johnson. Some of them are the spray products as well. This is according to CBSNews.com, so it must be true. Johnson & Johnson said Wednesday that it's recalling 5 of its sunscreen products after some samples were found to contain low levels of benzene, a chemical that can cause cancer with repeated exposure. The affected products, packaged in aerosol cans, are Aveeno Protect Refresh Aerosol Sunscreen and 4 Neutrogena Sunscreen versions, Beach Defense Aerosol Sunscreen, Cool Dry Sport Aerosol, Indivisible Daily Defense Aerosol Sunscreen, and I'm getting the pop-up blocking the last one here. Hang on there. Ultra Sheer Aerosol sunscreen. So the recall includes all can sizes and all levels of sun protection factor, or SPF. The products were distributed nationwide through retailers. Benzene, a known carcinogen, was found in 78 of nearly 300 sprays and lotions tested, or about 27%. It also includes products sold by Banana Boat and CVS. So there's a big deal. Now, benzene, this isn't a chemical that they add to this product, but this somehow these products are all testing positive for it. Crazy, huh?
That is bizarre. It could easily be a tampering thing. But if you're looking at the Twitch.tv live feed, that middle one there we had a couple years ago, and I told Brenda, why are you buying Neutrogena freaking sunscreen? I go, just get something, it's twice the price of a regular sunscreen. I go, we don't need that, just get the cheap stuff. So I got the 2-for-1 Target, you buy one, get one Target.
Yeah.
Extra free 30%, and that's what I use. I use the spray. I spray my face, in my eyes, in my ears, doesn't matter. And I usually wear a hat now, because with this beauty up here, look at that, huh? You see your freaking face in there, can't you?
Nice.
Yeah, it sucks, believe me. I have to use it. I hate using it, but I do, just because I hate the torture of freaking sunburn.
Well, the chemicals affect the benzene. By the way, benzene is highly flammable, widely used chemical that's present throughout the environment. It can cause cancer with repeated exposure at high enough levels. It can also damage the immune system and prevent cells from functioning properly. The chemical's effects vary by whether a person accidentally inhaled or ingests it, or gets it on the skin and clothing. Symptoms range from dizziness and irregular heartbeat to convulsions, and at very high levels, death. Johnson & Johnson, which is based in New Brunswick, New Jersey, said it has notified the Food and Drug Administration of the recall.
Wow. Well, I think they might have heard about it on the news this past week.
I think they're going to hear about it on Both Mics this week. Take
both
action.
Mics, yeah. I was just going to say that. Johnson & Johnson, they're first it's talcum powder, now it's this. What's next?
What are you going to do? Tell us cigarettes are bad for you next?
Yeah.
So, have you been a proponent of the Universal Halloween Horror Nights? Have you gone?
God, what was last time?
Well, they didn't have it last year, obviously, with the COVID. They're ramping up to do it this year.
2003 was last time I went to Halloween Horror Nights. So after I left the RFC, I went to the HCR. Or the HRC. I went then.
Universal Orlando will be celebrating its 30th Halloween Horror Nights this year. So you can expect things to get scary. I can remember going to this stuff in high school or right out of high school. I mean, not right out of high school. Wait a second. That can't be true.
89.
Yeah, yeah. Shortly after high school. Yeah. No, you're right. 89. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. You old fart.
They're going to have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre experience there.
They had 2 years to plan it, so it better be good.
What else are they going to have? They're going to have the Bride of Frankenstein Lives.
Yeah, she works at the Kangaroo gas station.
Oh!
And pulls teeth for a living.
Nice. They're also going to have the house, a Haunting of Hill House Maze. Let's see.
Haunting of Hill House?
Beetlejuice Haunted House, as well as six more houses that have not yet been announced.
Wow. Wow.
You know, they always do something with clowns, too.
Actually, no, wait. I've been to Halloween Horror Nights. Maybe it was, nah. I guess it was 2003. I'm trying to think of, we went with other people another time. Yeah, that was the same time. Okay, I've been once, 2003. And they actually had it in both parks that year. It was actually kind of cool. And there was a section in between the parks where they had, like, it was weird. It was like a grassy area, and they had, like, a lot of fire going on.
The grassy knoll, they had the JFK thing there?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, right by the library. And
they could have the Men in Black shoot them, just like the CIA did.
And they had guys with chainsaws and stuff. It's a cool section. I don't remember anything else about any of the haunted houses or anything, but I remember this outdoor area that they had in between the parks that was pretty cool.
Now, so, you go on a lot of cruises, right?
28 so far. I got one coming up in October.
This cruise ship that I'm showing you here, the Seven Seas Marine, this is a boat that is going to be going around the world. $73,499 per guest. This world cruise sells out in less than 3 hours. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. It's rather disgusting, the price. But,
well, you can go up. I mean, you can get a more expensive room. Like, you can get $1 under $200,000 or $199,999. That's for the that's per person. That's for the master suite.
Right.
So, you're going to pay $400,000 to step on this boat for 3 months and be with the same schlubs.
My only fear would be that's a smaller boat. That boat looks like it's under 100,000 tons. And, you know, I guess it has to be to get into some of the areas along in Europe and in Canada and whatnot. It has to, you know, get into some of these rivers. But for 3 months, you know, if it did the whole world, I guess. And the thing is, you pay $73,000 or $199,000. That does not include when you stop and you want to take a helicopter ride, you know, to see the glaciers in Alaska. You know, that's more money you got to drop. Does it include drinks? I don't know. A lot of times these cruises don't include beverages. So you're stuck with water and tea.
Well, the trip I'm talking about, the voyage, which will span 34,500 nautical miles, includes 66 ports of call, as the Seven Seas Mariner will visit 31 countries and 4 continents. Passengers will also see 61 UNESCO World Heritage Sites, whatever that means. The epic round-trip cruise will depart from Miami in January 2024. The company has also round-the-world cruises slated for 2022 and 2023, but it says the tickets for the 2024 trip sold out faster than any other year. I guess people are thinking that the COVID stuff's going to die down and everything enough that they'll feel more comfortable in a couple years. But am I going to drop, like, anywhere from 75,000 to 200,000 per person and let them hold my money for 3 years before I even go on a cruise?
Right. Or you put the deposit down and then you have to pay it off in a certain amount of time. Usually it's 90 days before the cruise.
Oh, they don't give you 30 years? It's like a damn mortgage.
Yeah, practically. Practically. But, yeah, I have a cruise coming in October and I literally just paid it off. Not knowing 100% that it's actually going to happen. But we'll see.
Scary stuff, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the accommodations here, and this was according to NPR.org. And, I mean, stuff looks nice. 200 grand nice per person, 400 grand. I don't know, I guess. I wouldn't know. I've never seen a place like that. I don't know.
What's the sales tax on something like that?
Oh, Jesus. And then there's, yeah, don't you have the port tax or whatever and all that, too? You got to pay?
Yeah. Well, port taxes, port fees are usually like $40. So, you know, that's no big deal. But, yeah, it's amazing that people have disposable income of that amount. It's disgusting.
We were over in the Sarasota area this past week here. And,
oh, cool.
We're in that area and we're driving around and we're looking at some of these houses in this one area, and they were obviously, we couldn't get to where the houses were, but you know, you start asking yourself that question, what do these people do? What did they do? Is this inherited wealth? Was this house handed to them? Or did they hit the lottery? Did they invent the sticky notes? I mean, what happened here? Tell me how you got here.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. When you're in the mortgage business and you see people and their income, you know, a pilot that makes 25 grand a month, it's insane. You know, like a private pilot, not a commercial pilot, and a radiologist makes 19 grand a month. Mm-hmm. Wow, are you kidding me? You know, and it's like a W-2 position. They're not even self-employed. They're just a radiologist, and they make 19 grand
a month. Well, I must confess that there was a time where I was making money close to that. I'm just going to leave it at that. And I know people who are making more in that same business than what you're talking about right now, 30, 40 grand a month. And it's almost like disgusting. It's almost like you almost want to take a bath when you get home to get it all off you. You know, it's almost like it's a mafia type thing. It's like, Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yep. So,
anyway, we got about less than 2 minutes to go. Do you have any shout outs for us today, Mike?
2 minutes. Here's to both mics. If you guys want a sticker,
yes.
Give us a shout out. Hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, all the typical social media platforms, YouTube, all our stuff is on there. We'll send you a couple and just put them where things stick.
Make sure you check out my friend Gino Losi. If you want to go fishing, you're in Florida, you're going to be in Florida, check out GinoLosi.com. Check him out on YouTube. This guy throws the line in a water and pulls out a fish. He takes that fish off the line, throws out the line, pulls in another fish. It's like watching one of those fishing shows on steroids. Also, check out my friends at the Melon Patch Theater in Leesburg. Dustin Levine does a great job there. Check them out. Donate some money. See a play. The community theater does a wonderful job there, so make sure you check those guys out. So I guess until next time, which if you're on twitch.tv/bothmics, stick around. That'll be coming up shortly here live.
Yep, cool.
All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, folks. Have a great day.